And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm going to cover a topic that I've been wanting to cover for a while, but I really just hadn't gotten around to it. And the reason I hadn't gotten around to it is because, well, there were other topics that I thought were a little more pressing. There were other topics that I thought you needed information on. So I kind of blew this topic off until today. But today is your lucky day, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to resurrect a show that I've been dying to do for the last year. Maybe the last 2 years. Could be the last 3 years. It's been a while. Let's just put it that way. It's been a while that I've been wanting to do the show. And I finally, for whatever reason, have the opportunity to do the show. So I'm going to talk to you about this very, very important subject. And it's going to amaze you. It's going to blow you away. Are you ready for the subject? Plexes. You know, like duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. Yeah, those things. You've heard of those things, right? Do you know what they are? Maybe we ought to start there. Let's start with what they are. First of all, they describe individual assets within real estate. But the interesting thing about the plexes is that they have multiple units to them. However, they're not considered multifamily assets. They're considered single family assets. Yeah, it's kind of a paradox, right? It's kind of making your mind go, why is that? Why does something like a duplex that contains two units, why is it classified as a single family property? That makes no sense at all. After all, there's two, meaning multiple units in that particular asset. What's going on? All right. Now you understand my dilemma. Now you understand why I've been wanting to cover this subject, but maybe you don't fully understand the why I'm going to cover it now. So let me just break the ice to you. I was curious. I found the information and I thought I'd share it with you. And today was the day to do it. Because I know that today is a day that you're available to receive the information. Did you know that when an instructor and a student get together, no learning occurs until both entities are engaged in the lecture? If the instructor is giving you information, but you're not having it, you don't want to listen to it, there will be no learning. But I have a sneaking suspicion that today, you're ready for the information I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share with you the historical context on the classification of duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes, and why they have been classified as single-family assets. Don't you want to know the reason? Don't you want to have the understanding? I know some of you are going, really, Al? This is the best you can come up with today? Yeah, this is it. This is it. And you know what? You're actually going to learn a lot. Because I'm going to take you all the way back well over 100 years ago. In the early 1900s, urbanization and industrial growth led to a demand for affordable housing in many of the cities across the United States of America. Have you heard that argument lately? Have you heard the argument for affordable housing? I mean, it was in the presidential election, right? I mean, they talked about it as part of the presidential election. It is talked about on a daily basis in Congress. It is talked about by the president. It is talked about in the news. There is a lack of affordable housing in this country. And it didn't just start now. All the way back in the early 1900s, they were having a problem with affordable housing. And duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes were initially built to accommodate multiple families within a single structure, often classified as multifamily housing. So originally, These things were called multifamily, meaning they are classified as multifamily assets, not single family assets, but multifamily assets. And these buildings provided a practical solution for housing workers and their families near industrial centers. So now you know some of the background, why these things came into existence. Because you would have families that have extended families, and they all wanted to live together. So let's say you have a family, and let's say your brother has a family, and let's say the both of you work in the same city, and you work in the same industrial complex. There is an opportunity, because somebody built a duplex, for you to buy that asset as a single family property. Technically, it was multifamily back in the day, but there was only one deed to the property. It was a property that was designed to accommodate two households within one property. That was the original duplex. The original triplex, designed to accommodate three families. And then the fourplex came along, and the fourplex was designed to accommodate four families. So back in the early 1900s, the family unit as we know it was a little bit different than the family unit that we experience today. Families tended to stay closer together. Families wanted to be together, and families wanted to habitate together. Obviously, things have changed a little bit. We're no longer a nuclear family type of society. We've moved away from that. But back in the 1900s, you relied on your family. They were the closest thing you had to anything. They were more important to you than friends, acquaintances, or anybody else, right? Because they were blood. They were blood. And you could argue with them, but you could always shake off the dust, and you were going to have each other's backs. So when duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes were made available in the early 1900s, they caught on. People started buying them. People started living in them. Now, and as time went on, we went through World War I. Then we went through a period of peace. Then we went through another world war. We went through World War II in the early 1940s. And after World War II, the United States experienced a significant housing boom. The GI Bill provided returning veterans with access to affordable home loans, leading to a surge in suburban development. And during this period, duplexes and similar properties like triplexes and fourplexes were often constructed in suburban areas, blending with single family homes. This era saw a shift towards these properties as being part of the broader single family housing market. So let's picture this, if we will. And you've seen evidence of this. If you have gone through any neighborhood in your local municipality that was built after World War II, you will probably see signs of this. You go into what you think is a single family neighborhood. You see a single family house. It's pretty clear it's a single family house. You see another single family house. Pretty clear it's a single family house. And then right next door, well, that house has two front doors. Why does it have two front doors? Because somebody built a duplex there back in the 1940s to accommodate two families. And that structure still exists today. It is an asset that you can potentially buy and put into your portfolio, but only if it makes sense. Now, I'm not talking about buying assets right now. I'm trying to give you the history on these things. And really what I'm trying to uncover is why do duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes, why are they considered single family? Why are they treated like single family assets and not treated like pure multifamily? See, pure multifamily, you've got to have five units or more for the industry, for the lending environment, for even the taxing environment to recognize that your asset is considered a commercial property. It's considered multifamily commercial properties. See, these single family houses, along with these duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes, they're not considered commercial property. They're considered single family assets. Kind of interesting, right? What happened after World War II, and what happened after they started building these duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes in the middle of single family neighborhoods? Well, What happened next had to do with zoning laws and housing policies that were put into place by the leadership of America back in the day. Zoning laws have played a crucial role in the classification of these properties. Initially, many cities implemented single-family zoning with the desire to preserve and protect neighborhood character and to prevent overcrowding in those neighborhoods. However, these laws also had the effect of limiting housing supply and increasing segregation. And over time, some cities began to relax these restrictions to address housing shortages and to promote more inclusive communities. For example, in 2019, the state of Oregon passed House Bill 2001, which allowed duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes in areas previously zoned for only single-family homes. So what you're seeing is you're seeing the regulatory environment, the people that make the laws and the regulations in our land, making decisions that will potentially, hopefully, impact and affect affordable housing. I mean, that's kind of what they're thinking. Now, have they done it? Not sure they've been able to accomplish that. But we're not through with the show, so you never know. We might come up with a solution. All right, what else has been going on? Financial institutions began offering mortgage products that treated duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes the same as single-family housing. Did you know that back in the day, if you were going to buy a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex, you either had to pay cash or you had to get a commercial loan? You didn't know that. Yeah, back in the day, that's the way it worked. But over time, the financial institutions recognized that duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes were a slightly different type of property than their pure multifamily brothers with five units or more. This made these properties more accessible to first-time home buyers and small investors when these mortgage products came out. The ability to generate rental income from additional units also made them attractive investments, further blurring the lines between single-family and multifamily classifications. Yeah, now we're kind of getting into what's going on today. In recent years, urban planners have promoted higher density housing to address issues like urban sprawl and affordable housing. What they've done is they've attempted to classify duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes as single-family assets to support these goals by allowing more efficient use of land and infrastructure. So what they're saying is it's okay to have higher density properties in our single-family communities. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Hey, when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about some of the recent developments. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today, but we're talking about the mystery of the duplex, the triplex, and the fourplex. And up to this point in today's radio show, I've been giving you historical context. I've been explaining to you why duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes exist the way they do, how they came into being, and how they kind of integrated themselves into the single-family space. Over the last 100 or so years, depending on what period of time you're in, there was demand for duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. And we know this because we can look at the existing housing stocks that are in our local communities, and we can drive to neighborhoods, and we can see in those neighborhoods the occasional duplex, the occasional triplex, and the occasional fourplex. And we kind of wonder, how did they get there? The reason they got there is because somebody wanted it. Somebody along the way decided they would build it. And somebody along the way decided they would buy what was built, and they would move into that asset. And they would either allow other family members to move in alongside of them, or, now get this, or rent out the additional units and thereby creating passive income that can be used to, get this, retire yourself. Yeah, you didn't know you could do that with a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex, did you? And the reason you probably didn't know you could do that with a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex is there's a myriad of reasons. Let's just be honest. There's a myriad of reasons why that could occur. But let me just plant that thought in your mind. Plant the thought that you could buy an asset, you could live in it, you could have a place to call home, and you could rent the remaining units to other people who will pay you their hard-earned wages, effectively one-third of what they make every month. They'll give it to you because that's what expenses are. Normal housing expenses are about one-third of what most people make. They give you one-third of what they make at the first of the month every month, and then they enjoy living in that beautiful plex along with you because you're living in that plex too. Now, there are some different strategies out there on buying plexes. There are. But the one thing I need you to understand, the one thing that you absolutely must accept, is that whether or not you live in that plex is an income-producing property. It is an asset. It is a business asset. An asset for your business. If you acquire that asset, you need to run it like it's a business. Don't run it like, oh, I bought myself a plex and I'm living in one. And I got Joe Bubba over here in that side of the plex, and I got Bubba Small up here and a Bubba Large over there. Yeah, and they come around every once in a while. They pay me rent every once in a while, and sometimes I got to chase them down for rent and stuff. That's not how you operate the business. That is not, no. Now, as a matter of fact, my brain is sizzling right now just thinking of that reference that I made. That is not how you operate investment real estate assets. What you have to do, and let me be very clear with you, you have to decide what the purpose is for that plex. Why are you buying a plex? Are you buying it because you need a place to live yourself, or are you buying it for pure investment purposes only? You have to make that decision. And here's why. If you decide to live in one of the units of whatever plex you decide to buy, that unit doesn't pay you any money. But wait a minute, Al, hold on, Al, slow down. I have a place to live. I have a place to habitate. I got a place that I can call my own, that I can watch football games in. I can have my girlfriend come over. And you know what? We can have dinner and I can enjoy living in my plex. Yeah, but here's the thing. That plex has expenses associated with it. That plex has a tax bill associated with it. It has an insurance bill associated with it. If you're doing it correctly, in other words, if you bought the property correctly, the way we would teach you how to buy it at Lifestyles Unlimited, you have a mortgage on the property. That mortgage covers principal and interest. So there are expenses on that property. So if you live in one of the units, you are taking away from the income stream that plex could provide. And what remains are the expenses. So you're going to have to find a way to cover the expenses. Now, granted, the other units in the plex may help you with that. They may cover some, if not all, of your expenses. If they cover all of your expenses, congratulations. You effectively are living there free. But if you're not living in the plex and you're renting out that last unit, the one you would have lived in, that unit and the rent that you collect from that unit represents all of your profit. It does. I mean, think about it. Let's call it a fourplex. Let's say we've got a fourplex. Let's say you're trying to decide whether you want to live in one of the units, and the other three units, based on the rent that you're able to charge, based on what the market rents are, with the rents that you collect off of those three units, there's enough income there to cover the expenses of the fourth unit. That means that if you live in it, there's no profit, but you have a free place to live. If you rent it out, that unit represents pure profit. It's kind of cool, right? So when you think about it, how much should a fourplex offer you? Well, it's the same business rules that we use as single family. Yeah, okay, let me explain it to you. When I'm looking to buy a single family, I want to make sure that the asset that I buy provides me the opportunity to make $200 to $600 per month in positive cash flow. And I want the asset to be able to double my money when I buy it in the form of equity capture. So in other words, if I put $25,000 of my own money into the deal, that deal will allow me to capture an additional $25,000 or more in equity in the asset, effectively doubling or more my equity participation in the asset itself. Kind of interesting, right? So you think about it. What if you had two? What if you figure out a way that you can buy these things like they're single family assets, but they're contributing more money? And that's the other piece of the equation you need to understand. Cash flow wise, I want the cash flow to be between $200 and $600 per door. Did you hear me correctly? Per door. That means for a single family asset, I'm looking for a more than 600 could be fine, but we usually don't find that. I'm looking for $200 to $600 per door in income after all the expenses have been paid. If I go to a duplex, I'm looking for $200 to $600 per door or $400 to $1,200 in income, in passive income from the asset itself. Does that make sense? Okay, what about on the equity capture piece? When it comes to equity capture in the single family space, what I like to see, this is my personal thought. What I like to see is I like to see the equity double. So in other words, if I put $25,000 of my own money into the asset, I want to capture at least $25,000 of equity in addition to the $25,000 of equity that I'm physically buying in the asset. Does that make sense? How does that translate to the plexes? Does that mean we've got to like double, triple, or quadruple our equity capture? And here's where it gets a little bit different. Because when it comes to the plexes, now this is an interesting feature of the plexes. And I can't 100% prove this to be accurate, but I do have a lot of experience with plexes. So here's what I know. The value of plexes does not tend to go up as fast as the value of single family assets. So when I'm looking to capture equity in the asset, what I would like to do is I would like to capture at least the same amount of equity as the cash I'm putting into the deal. But when it comes to the plexes, I'm willing to take less than a doubling effect. And here's why. They just don't appreciate as fast as single family assets appreciate, because there is less demand in the marketplace for plexes than there are for single family assets. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you. All right. Something else I want to talk to you about that makes these plexes a little bit more single family than multifamily. And it has to do with the financing considerations. The federal government, as well as conventional lenders, the FHA loan program, the VA loan program, all of these types of loans that are out there allow for the use of single family funding, in other words, single family lending for properties that contain between one and four units. And the interest rates assigned to those loans typically are lower and more flexible compared to the commercial loans that you would have to get if you were to buy five units or more. Did you know there's a difference in the lending standard? There's a huge difference in the lending standards. I talk to one type of lender if I'm looking to buy a plex. I talk to a different type of lender if I'm looking to buy commercial real estate. Yeah, because they do things completely differently. And here's the other thing about these commercial loans. They can have more stringent qualification requirements. They definitely have higher interest rates, and they can have shorter loan terms, which can make the deal a little less attractive. What about regulatory concerns? Well, in many jurisdictions, properties with up to 4 units are considered residential and are subject to single-family residential zoning and building code standards. Period. End of story. Properties with 5 or more units fall into a separate category and must comply with different zoning, fire safety, and building regulations. Oh, and let me tell you, the regulations, the regulatory environment of non-plex properties is a lot more invasive than the regulatory environment that you will deal with if you decide to buy plexes. Duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes, now get this, are often owned by individual investors or owner-occupiers who live in one of the units and rent out the others. This is much less common for larger apartment communities. And here's why. You do not want to live in one of your units at your apartment community. Do you know why? Because that unit will be considered down, because you're not going to pay anything for that unit. It will be considered a write-off. But here's the problem. That particular unit does not provide any income. Because it doesn't provide any income, it cannot be calculated into the overall valuation of the asset, because the valuation of the assets are completely different. Single family assets are valued based on something called a comparative analysis. In other words, what they do is they let you sell your property, and then they go out and they get an appraisal, right? And what they're looking to find are similar properties that sold for similar pricing within a similar time period, within a similar area as your subject property, because they're trying to qualify the value of the property based on comparative sales. But in pure multifamily, it is all based off an income approach. Now, they may be interested in what other properties have sold for. They may order an appraisal, but the value of the property is determined based on an analysis of the income streams that the property produces, because that's really what you're buying. Is you're buying, well, you're buying the asset, but you're buying the income stream. So they're completely different when it comes to the type of loans you can get on the properties. They're completely different when we talk about how they're valued. And get this, when it comes to taxation, they might be valued differently. Do you think so? I think so. As a matter of fact, I can go do some research and I could probably prove that point to you. Properties with 1 to 4 units benefit from residential tax rules such as homestead exemptions, if you're owner-occupied, and different depreciation schedules than we use in the commercial real estate world. For commercial properties of 5 units or more, since they're treated as commercial properties, they're subject to different tax rates, different deduction schedules. It's all different. It's how you do your taxes. It's different. How I invest in my commercial properties, I get tax documentation that is different than anything that I have received when I owned plexes. And I have owned plexes in the past. And you know the way I operated those plexes? Like they're single family houses. Yeah, except they have a common wall. And I've got 2 income streams coming in on my duplexes. And I've got 1 mortgage that I pay using the income from those 2 units. It's as simple as that. What about market perception? Well, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes are seen as an entry point into real estate investing for individual owners, which aligns them more closely with single-family homes in the investment landscape. If you're considering X because you want to buy it for investment purposes, the best thing to do is go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, sign up for one of our free workshops so that we can teach you the best way to get this done. And let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.